It's just great being with you. It's been such a long, long, long time. And none of you look any older. Amazing. Quite remarkable. It's something in the air in Perth, obviously. But no, it's just great being with you, and appreciate just meeting some new folks as well, not known, you know, that you've joined, you know, the last few years or more, even more recently. And it's just great. Great to be together. Great to be part of your worship. What a magnificent time of just drawing near to Jesus, knowing him and sensing him speaking to us as well. It's great, super. Cheryl, my wife, would love to have been here this weekend, and she texted me this morning and said, whatever you do, don't forget to just send the church her love. And she would have been here, but has been away for 3 weeks in Sweden on granny duty. And we've got five grandchildren in Sweden now, and so she's pretty kind of tired and exhausted from travelling, and just needed to be at home really. So, but she sends her love, and we'll be here another time. I just there are a couple of times in the worship where, in fact, just hearing Mark pray, and then Brian in what he brought, just referenced stuff going on in his life, and Mark just sort of talked about the times we're in, you know, and we have lived through just some very challenging times, haven't we, in all sorts of ways. I don't know how you would describe life now, life both out there, but also life in terms of your own life, you know, in terms of what you're walking through and stuff that's happening with kind of, by and large, well, we have come out of pandemic measures, but COVID's still very much kind of around. But apart from that, I think we'd never have thought over this last year that we'd be living through times where there's war in Europe. I think all that's happening in terms of the economy, all that's happened in the world of politics, I won't go there, I promise. Okay, but you've got the whole political arena. It almost seems like in every arena that there's huge challenge just out there, you know? And then we're thinking of winter now, aren't we? And I don't think that's the kind of thing. What will winter be like? I think that's where these words of joy actually are actually quite key for us as we go into this next season. So kind of it's challenging times. I think as well as that, I think it's challenging times personally. You know, all those things can affect us personally. But I would say there's all sorts of things people are struggling with. I think it can be a passivity. I think it can be an apathy. I think it can be a fear. I think it can be anxieties. And it can be much more. I think it's all of those things plus more. And it's very real. And what I want to do is read to you from one of Paul's letters, where actually Paul himself was under intense pressure. You know, that his setting was writing literally from a dungeon. And he's going to be writing to someone he loves dearly, or he wrote to someone he loves dearly, and actually who himself seems to be under a lot of pressure. It's important we see it in that way when we read these words. I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read just first 12 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, a teacher, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I am suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him that day. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Okay, that's going to be the thrust this morning. Fan into flame. It's that fire is a powerful metaphor, isn't it? And as I've read this through a few times now, Paul could have written to Timothy and said, don't forget to use the gift God gave you. Okay? He could have just said that, because that's the heart of what he's saying. But he uses a metaphor of fire. And fire is powerful. Fire changes things. Fire, it brings heat. It brings light. It's something very dynamic. It transforms things. And that's the image that Paul is using here in terms of the gift that God's put him within it. And I believe that although this is a very personal challenge to Timothy in his situation, where it does seem he's under great pressure, I believe that actually God's given us this encouragement to speak into our lives as well. And I believe in these days where much is pressing in all sorts of ways, God will say to us, fan into flame. Fan into flame the gift that God has given to you. And the mere fact Paul is using that image of fan into flame, it suggests as well that sometimes things can die down. Things can get dampened. We can be a bit smoky. Okay? We can just be, you know, and what a tragedy in times where I believe God calls the church to be burning with something. What a tragedy if we're just embers that are just slightly glowing. These are days when God, amidst all the pressures and everything, God is saying he wants us to burn with something, to shine with something. It really is time for church to be church. And as I say, that even coming through the pandemic, I think one of the things that has left, one of the deposits, not just in the church, I think throughout, has been a passivity. People also found alternative ways of just kind of just getting on with life that it's robbed so many situations. But also we live in a culture that is increasingly anti-Christian. It's not neutral about Christian stuff now. It's anti-Christian. So we're living in a daily battle, and we do have an enemy who hates the church. And I think we are, as I go around, as I talk with folks, and in fact, as we reflect on our own lives, for Cheryl and I don't think we've known a time of such sustained attack in so many ways. We're in a battle. And it's because of all these things that I believe this encouragement, fan into flame, is so necessary and so important. But just a few reminders about just the background, that Paul is in prison. It seems it's not house arrest this time. It seems he's actually in a dungeon. It would be most severe imprisonment you could imagine. he's suffering for the gospel, and he knows his death is near. If you were to read on in the letter, he talks about, I've fought the fight, I've run the race. He knows that his time for departure is soon. He's going to be with the Lord soon. And because of that, he writes with an urgency and a passion. These are times for us to hear that, the way it's written. He also writes with a deep affection. He writes to Timothy as my dear son. You know, Timothy's his son in the faith, and encourage him in that. You catch the father heart towards Timothy here. My dear son. And we need to interpret that in terms of our father's heart in heaven towards us. He speaks, my dear son, my dear daughter. That these words of encouragement, it's not like, come on, get yourself together, you know, let's get your act together. No, they're the words of a father. Fanning to flame. It's personal. He reminds him of his upbringing. He said, yeah, oh, you know, I remember your mother, your grandmother, the faith that was in them. He knew family history. He knew Timothy personally. He knew the details about his life. He knew where his personal struggle was. Timidity, fear, he addresses it. He knew him personally and intimately. That's how our Father in heaven knows us. I'm praying that as you just look at this, that God speaks to you personally, intimately. Not because I know about you, but the Father in heaven knows about you. He knows that particular thing you are struggling with. And he speaks as a father. It's personal. But also includes Timothy into the bigger story. It says there, so don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. This is in verse 8. He says, rather, join with me. Join with me in suffering. I think in the ESV, share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He invites Timothy, he reminds Timothy of the bigger picture. And that's essential for us, because I think when we have personal struggles, wherever it is, whether it's fear or anxiety or even passivity or apathy, wherever it is, or circumstances around us, we go in on ourselves. I've known some real battles that have just been issues, and you know, I've shared with Julian and Tom, they kind of, you know, aware of the details, and won't bore you with the details. But some of those things that have been going on more recently, kind of in our lives, it can end up that you just turn in on yourself. And you need to be reminded, we're part of a bigger picture. It's the big story. It's the big gospel story. That's where we orientate our lives. And this is Paul sort of saying, join with me. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. You know, this life isn't just about, oh, us just getting through it. We're part of a bigger story. And it's because of that. Now, Paul's saying, fan into flame. Gifts God's given you. And that's the reminder. If that's the background, then the reminder is, and it is interesting, Paul says, I remind you to fan into flame. We need reminding, don't we? Okay? We forget things. Okay? We just forget them. But also we've got an enemy who steals. He's a thief. He robs, and he robs us of stuff. And sometimes he robs us in broad daylight and we don't realise. And we need to be reminded of what God's given. That's why much of the scriptures are actually reminders. So the big question is, what is the gift? Okay? That's the kind of the big question. I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God. What is the gift that Paul's addressing here? Well, having read quite a number of commentaries now, I want to give you the direct answer. We're not sure. Which is really helpful, isn't it? You know, there's difference of opinion. It could be the gift is referring to Timothy's teaching gift And there was a real battle for truth going on in the church in Ephesus that we know about. You can get that from the letters to Timothy. And Paul's saying, don't neglect the word. Don't forget what the gift of teaching, that actually there's people coming in, they're corrupting the gospel. It could be that. And that Timothy got a bit battle-weary and a bit fed up in it. And he's like, oh, here we go again. It could well be that. Or it could be, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit, actually being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the gift you received when I laid my hands on you. It could have been that Timothy, you know, as we so often read in Acts, it's that time when he received the Holy Spirit. I kind of go with both. And I don't think it's wrong to go with both, because actually any gifts we serve with comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit at work in us. But we need both. We need encouragement in both. So all of us are gifted. God's given gifts to each one, and we'll just mention that in a moment. And we need to stir those specific gifts up. But as well, we need to be stirring up that life in the Spirit. And that's what happened in the worship this morning. I thought there were so many helpful points in the worship this morning. That coming in, there's a sense of, no, we've been stirred in the Spirit. And we need to know how to fan into flame that gift and the ways of the Spirit in us. How do we do that? Well, we recognize it is a gift. It's not to do with what we earn. We don't work for what God gives us. It is the grace of God. It's a gift. Everything about salvation is a gift. Okay? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. It's gift, gift, gift. The Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. Everything about salvation and everything about serving is rooted in God gives. He's a giving God. He's great. It's the grace of God. And Paul can't help himself. And one, he's saying, fan into flame, the gift of God. You know, God's given you. And a bit later, and a bit already, he's talking about the gift God given since before the foundation of time. This is the grace of God. A gift is a gift. And we've got to know it. We've got to keep fighting that battle in our minds, which tends towards, you know, earning or whatever. A gift is a gift. It's foreign to worldly thinking to think this way. I got this letter through the post. Actually, it's 2020. There you go. It's in January 2020, and it was from the Shanghai Pudong Development Bank, which you've all heard of, haven't you? Good. Anyway, I won't read the whole letter, but it's from Mr. Li Wang from the Shanghai Pudong Development Bank of Beijing. And anyway, he wrote this. He says, basically, he got my information from UK Public Records, and because he's searching about a deceased client called Mr. Michael By, who was basically a British oil magnate with the same surname as mine. And anyway, he lived in Hong Kong 28 years. Tragically, he lost his life. But anyway, before his demise, he deposited the sum of 47,500,240 US dollars. And basically, it's been placed under management of our bank, and they've searched all sorts of other relatives. Basically, it's mine. Yes, that's a good cough. That's a very well-timed cough there. Very well-timed. Very well. It could not have been better timed. I mean, do we believe it? You know, what seems such an extraordinary gift, of course, is a complete scam. And that's the thing, we you know, that is a scam. Well, I hope it is anyway. I really, really hope that's a scam. Anyway, but you know, we question, we struggle, we gift being gift. God's given good gifts. But it needs attention. We're to fan it into flame. And that's the interesting thing about this scripture. It's totally God-given, but we need to do something about it. It doesn't lead to passivity. We do nothing to gain it, and yet we have to use it. We have to, you know, we have to stir it. It needs our attention. And then it has impact. That's the other thing about this gift. And that's why I think this metaphor fire is important. It's not just functioning in gifts. The gifts God's put within you are designed to impact, bring heat and light and change to other people. They're not just ornaments in the church. So what's our response to this? Well, first of all, we need to use and step out in what God's given. Use it. And I believe that is a real challenge to the passivity and the apathy that I think is in our times. It's also a challenge to the fear and the anxiety in our times. We need to be active. We need to almost do the opposite. It's how we do spiritual warfare, actually. We do the very opposite of what the enemy is trying to do. We step out in it. If he's trying to rob something from us, we need to step out in it. When Paul elsewhere writes about gifts in terms of the body of Christ, he says that we, you know, each of us has a body with many members, and not all the members have the same function. And in that, he says that we're one body. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. He says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If your gift is encouragement, encourage. If your gift is serving, serve. If your gift is generosity, give. In other words, use it. Do the very thing that the gift is designed to do. I encourage you in that. We are his body, and Jesus makes his impact in the lives of other people as we give ourselves as parts of the body to what God's called us to be. It's important we hear that. Let's not be robbed of that. Now, at this point, you might actually be thinking, well, yeah, but I don't know what my gift is. Well, just serve. Just serve and ask God in the process of serving. Just okay, ask God, would you just help me to just grow in that which you put in me? Don't get hung up on the question of what is my gift, but rather serve. And then in serving, you can ask yourself, well, what is it God's put in my heart? I loved hearing Helen. Yeah, I just met Helen for the first time this morning over coffee. And it wasn't just a notice, was it? It wasn't a notice, was it? It was about a passion. You know? And you can pretty guarantee if you get together, you know, wherever Helen's going to do that meeting, whatever, you can pretty well imagine it is going to be fun. It's going to be good because you catch the heart of it. Well, that's a little kind of snapshot of kind of, that's multiplied throughout church. It can be anything. It can be hospitality. It can be all sorts of things. But we're to use it. But we're to know that it has impact. And the important thing is this, that we don't just limit it to what church life is about. Because most of our lives, we're outside of church life. We're outside of meetings. So in other words, the gift that God's given you, it's for the kingdom. It's for the world. It's where you spend the rest of your lives. And that's where we can make the difference in terms of the heat and the warmth and the light and the impact. You know, the world is aching to receive gifts of encouragement. Your workplace needs it. It needs that gift of encouragement. It needs gifts of hospitality. It needs gifts of kindness. It needs gifts of mercy. The world needs to see us, the church, fan into flame that which God has given. Not just our meetings get more exciting, but so that actually we make impact wherever God's called us. Let's use it. Let's overcome those personal hindrances. And you know, for Paul, for Timothy, it was fear, timidity. Personally, that would be my struggle area. I know that's the thing I continue to have to battle with. But for others, it can be anxiety. For others, it can just be circumstances that are kind of robbing you of something. Or it can be somehow you've just settled into a life that is disconnected from. It's just all become too comfortable. God's not given us spirit of comfort, in one sense. He's given us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But he's not given us the spirit of just being comfortable. But he's given us the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, or self-control. And that's where we need to know the Holy Spirit. And that's where I think Paul was stirring Timothy up again with receiving the Holy Spirit. Know what God has given you. He's given you the spirit of power. Of power. And remember, power is not just us feeling powerful, but power is made manifest through our weakness. And sometimes at our times of greatest weakness, that's when God's power is revealed. Let's know the power of the Holy Spirit. No, we don't stockpile power. We don't kind of get stockpile. You know, we don't get just filled up on the Sunday and somehow walk through the week somehow just carrying power, and it just gets depleted to the next Sunday. No, we can know a relationship. That's when we need to stir up ourselves in the Spirit. And love, it's power and love. We need both, don't we? We need both, and I think there's that in all of us that can tend towards one or the other. We need more power, we need more power, we need more power. No, we need more love, we need more love. Hey, we need both. We need both, because that's what you see in Jesus. You know, power without love can so lead to control. Love without power can actually at times be impotent. We need both, spirit of power, love, and self-control. Self-control that isn't about just stopping us doing the naughty things. Okay? That's part of it. But that's not the whole thing. It's about bringing our minds in line with what is true of us in Christ. That we're no longer governed by self-thinking, but we're governed by what is true of our identity in Christ and who we are in Him. And that's a battle. But it's power, spirit of love, power, and self-control together. God wants us to know the Holy Spirit. God wants to stir us again in these days. That's why it's fanned into flame, the gift God's given with you. And I'll read it to you again. I remind you to fan into flame the gift that God has given you, in which is on you through the laying on of my hands. It's good to pray for one another. It's good to receive freshly. Sati, I'm going to finish with this, just with a quote. I started with a quote. Where I started, you know, the preach really was setting it in our times. Okay, and I think we can do that. I want to do a quote from Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers of the UK back in the mid-19th century. And a quote when he preached from this, and he said it in his times. Okay? So just listen to this. He starts off by saying, "The church of the living God, it seems to me, is travelling along the road to heaven in a horse-drawn wagon. And the rest of the world is going its own way by express speed. The world marches. It is this. Now, was there ever a time when the wheels of life revolve so swiftly as now?" Incredible, isn't it? Mid-19th century. "The world marches with giant strides. Everybody is up and awake. But for the most part, the church is asleep. For other things, men labour and tug and toil and make sacrifices. For an idea, they slaughter one another. For the unity of a race, they fatten fields with blood and they make rivers run with gore. But to preach Christ and snatch sinners from the jaws of hell, they require us to be sombre and insist we must not be too intense, we must not go too fast, we must be prudent, or we must be reserved. Dear Lord, deliver us from prudence and coldness. Dear Lord, deliver us from every tradition and every idol that's been set up among us, which prevents us being thoroughly useful and serviceable to the cause of God. Dear Lord, deliver us. Because these are busy times, we ought to fan into flame the gift that God has given us." Here we are. I wonder what he would write now. Okay? It was true in Paul's time. It was true in Spurgeon's time. It's true for us today. Dear friends, let's fan into flame the gifts God has given us. Let's recognize the excuses. Let's be honest with ourselves. Paul was honest with Timothy, and I think that tells us something. Let's fan it into flame. I'd love to pray for us all. And then, I don't know if we're going to sing again. I haven't checked that. We'll pray. But I think let's if you're able to, let's just stand in the presence of God. Just, I do believe that there will be, for some of you, there'll be something that God's kind of just put his finger on that holds you back. It just holds you back. It kind of locks you in a bit to yourself. And perhaps it makes you a bit smoky rather than flame-like. Just hear the Father's heart right now. Speaks to you personally, intimately. He knows you. He knows you. He so knows you. He so loves you. But he wants you to fan into flame. Holy Spirit, we just ask you now to just move amongst us. Lord, in these days, which are difficult times, and we sense more difficult times to come, Lord, I pray, Lord, would you help us to fan into flames that which you've given and continue to give. Release us fully, Lord. Release us, Lord, that wherever you've got us, wherever you've placed us, God, we would burn. We would bring difference right where you've got us, right into offices, right into schools, right into neighborhoods, right into families, right into difficult relationships. Lord, wherever you've got us, Lord, come. We want to bring that warmth, your presence, that light of you in us, working through us. Come, Lord. We want to be part of this bigger story, the gospel story. We want to, Lord, just be part of that. more and more. Come, Lord, would you fill us again now with your Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, no longer to stand back, but rather step forward into those things we know you've given and we know you've called us to. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us as churches. Help King's House Perth right here, Lord. Let the flame burn, Lord. Let it burn. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Just have your way with us now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just feel that there's a... I kind of say this carefully, but I just feel there's something quite personal, and that there's a kind of intimate moment for some of you of God really putting his finger on something, and he just wants to kind of wants to so address it in the right way. He wants to say, look, don't hide behind that anymore. Don't hide behind it. Don't be embarrassed by it, but don't hide behind it. Because God's not given you a spirit defined by that issue, but he's given you the spirit of love, power, and self-control. And I believe it's important for some people to be prayed for this morning. And I don't know the best way of doing this. I'm kind of looking, Tom, whether it's you know, want to come forward, or you just put your hand up where you are. I don't know. But I really believe some people, it's going to be good to pray with you this morning. Don't miss this opportunity. Okay, so...